So it's my job today, and hopefully I'll survive till the end of it. It's only 19,000 pages long.
Short one.
That's only because I had to make it 16 font. Oh, no. So let me open in prayer for this before we start. And I've got to obviously look at a character of God, and I'm going to draw on the character of love. And so I talked about hope back in April, so I'm drawing on love today. Wonder where I'll go in my next sermon. No. Father, would you walk with us today? Talk to us as we seek you out in Scripture. Lifestream Christian Fellowship has set its heart on pilgrimage. So challenge us and change us. Cleanse and rearrange us until your Holy Spirit fire burns brightly in us. Amen. This week I actually heard a message from something I'm following at the moment as part of my morning and evening ritual of listening to Scripture. And this person talked about something I hadn't even thought about. But it's inspired me to then revisit that thought and that concept. And it was good because up until then I had nothing for this Sunday. I was very busy trying to keep up and keep alive of whether the flus and the head colds and everything. And God's been gracious and I've been getting stronger every day. But if you were to go and look at our website, and I have to apologize, I'm going to have a runny nose and I'm going to have hopefully not a cough. But if you go to our website and then we look at our belief statement from the Lifestream website, there's in a paragraph at the end of that whole section, there's this statement. And it says, the great commandment is to love, and the great commission is to share that love. And I would ask you, if you haven't read our belief statement, then please do. Jump on the web. Give it a read. Because it's actually the heart of Lifestream. So if you disagree with it, let's have a discussion. Because we need that. That's the whole purpose. And to be clear to all here today, the great commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And love your neighbour as yourself. Now that comes from Mark 12, verses 30 and 31. And that's on our belief statement. And the Great Commission is, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And that's from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. But how does one fulfill both? To love and to share that love. One can't do the second belief statement unless you have the first belief statement truly resonating within you. It's a challenge. A bit hard to love some of our neighbours when they just, and you yourself are struggling with what is going on inside you. And this word, love, comes with a mixed bag of feelings, emotions and meanings. Your view or experience and my view or experience will most likely be very different. The church over time hasn't helped. And modern day terms can distort one's view. The movie world has really messed with this word endlessly. And at the moment, they've completely lost the clarity of what the word is, to my point of view. We, the church, have in a way turned it into a cliche. A bit like walking in the footsteps of Christ's love for mankind. Or being Christ-like in all one does. Sharing God's love to all the world. None of this really defines the depth of God's love for us, let alone mankind in this world we live in. The definition used in Scripture that's been written was based on an ancient Greek times for the word agape, meaning it's the highest form of love, or simply referring to the following as to express the unconditional love of God for his children. And, you know, when we read through Scripture, it keeps on reminding us that God, Abba Father, is love. He is the definition of it all. And to help us, we can get a great description from the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Corinth church. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And now, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And if you want to look that up, that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8, A, and verse 13. All very powerful. And I thank Paul for writing that out. Can I fulfill it? No. Do I have the patience? No. And Kim will easily tell you that. I don't deny it. Some days I get home and I'm tired. And the fact is, I can't say that some days I get home. I'm home most days in the context that I'm working from home and I'm still tired. So we can have short fuses, if we use the term that we use, where we obviously get tired and things can set us off. So patience, kindness, it's a challenge. So Paul, to write all that out is just awesome, but living it, that's a challenge. So let me open up this discussion on the topic of love with a different thought. Have you ever thought about love in the context of time? Or over a duration of time? Let me give you some of a bit of a background on my medical world. What I grew up as a person with all these medical things that I have. My mother, a blessing that she was, often spoke about me when I was young that I never really stood still. I was born and then I ran. Never stopped. No time for learning to crawl or walk. I decided that, yep, lying around in a crib was just boring. So I just, that's it, got up and ran. Crawling wasn't for me. There were times I was still, but they were rare. And she would tell me that. This feat of running is a miracle. And the reason being is I was born with two club feet and spent many years wearing plaster boots. And if you know of children that have been like that, they're where they basically encase your foot in a straight position, pretty much to your knee, to try and stretch the tendons and the muscles and the grips to make the feet straight. They even tried giving me, at one time, on doctor's directions, newly designed and very stiff and very expensive leather boots to help correct the club feet issue. I successfully wore them out within 4 weeks. So they decided that probably it's not practical or cost effective. to stay, so they stay with the plaster boots for a while. Even with this physical issue, I never really slowed down. Around the same time and for many years, till about the 10 years of age, I also suffered from asthma. So it was a chronic respiratory issue that would, about every third or fourth week in my early days as a child, put me into a hospital for a week easily. Stuck on a bed, within an oxygen tank, where I'd have to stay still and recover so that I could just breathe. Not really a thing I looked forward to, but it did enable me to come back out there into that fast-moving world that I just loved. Nowadays, I'm still running, but I have slowed down compared to my youthful days. I've also learnt to be still, and that is a challenge, as this is not my normal place or my normal pace. And I will be honest, I struggle with this going slow business. I'd rather move on, rather keep going. Age is helping. The older you get, the more slower you are. Though 6 years ago, I took up squash again. And that was to defy the doctor's doom report that basically said that, you know, I had a defect heart. And I said, I've had a defect heart since I was born and it hasn't stopped me. So not yet. And we've been watching it and nothing's changed. And I've been playing squash for 5 more years. Lots of events have tried to slow me down. I'm still here. And still moving. Yep, praise the Lord. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. When Michael was born, in his first 2 years, I learnt to go slow. And Kim actually made a comment. I remember this. She was coming out of Sydney. She runs everywhere. You know, Sydney people, they don't sit still. And she used to have to slow down for Micah and I. And it was like, you two are slow. But I learned to slow down, to not rush, to spend time with him at his pace, at his pace. And this was my first experience of watching the world, taking time to journey with the ones I love at their pace. It was different. I liked it. Anyway, let's get back to the message. In a message I gave back in April, and I'm sure you all vividly remember this, I talked about essential hope. Hope, having hope when all around you is hopeless. My focus was that hope is a promise that is eternal, a future that is secured, founded on the fact that God is the author and perfecter of my life and the life of LifeStream Christian Fellowship members as well. God has a plan that is good. And I drew reference by focusing on this passage from Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Amen. And that's Jeremiah 29:11. I also shared that the true understanding behind that message, why Jeremiah spoke it out, was that the Jewish community was about to go into exile for 70 years. And so they needed to have hope that there is a future that is greater than the life they're about to live and die in. And most of them, if not all of them, died in that life. It was going to be 2 or 3 generations later that they would step back into the promised land after living in suppressed and abused conditions under the Egyptians first, and then the Babylonian Empire in Babylon. And this was a long-term trust, a journey in time. And as part of that trust, God asked that they were to settle down, build houses, marry, and even pray for the peace and prosperity of the city in which they now found themselves in. Have you noticed? Our Heavenly Father is all about spending time with us, traveling on a journey with us. Abba, Father, is outside of time. Yet Jesus, his Son, lived within time and its boundaries. So he would be more attuned to the pressures we live in of having to run to keep up with all the demands. Yet when we read the New Testament, you never read that Jesus hurried. With just 3 years to save the world, he still made time for fishing trips, picnics, parties, weddings, which means he's probably officially less busy than most pastors or elders in today's society. So perhaps it's a good day to begin thinking about the spirituality of walking as part of the term love, beginning by focusing on a beautiful invitation from Jesus. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away from with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And that's from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. That version is the MSG. Message Bible. A Dr. Kosuke Koyama, I think I've done it right. He is an ecumenical theologian who was a missionary in Japan and wrote books based on his experience while working within the mission fields. And that's up in the fields itself. It's like not defining a place, but he worked in fields. In one of his books titled 3 Mile an Hour God, he talks about love having a speed. And if you all remember your physics maths, and I hope I get it right, the speed is derived from a formula based on distance travelled over time. So, 60 kilometres per hour, or one can say one travels 60 kilometres within 1 hour, distance over time. Dr. Koyama wrote in his book, God walks slowly because he is love. If he is not love, he would have gone much faster. Love has its speed. It's an inner speed. It is a spiritual speed. It is a different kind of speed from the technological speed to which we are accustomed. It goes on in the depth of our life, whether we notice or not, at 3 miles an hour. It is the speed we walk. And therefore, it is the speed the love of God walks. And this made me rethink back to those days with Micah, where I moved at his pace, slowly taking in all the joy he experienced each day. My question is, have you ever experienced anything similar? Abba, Dad, loves you so much that his patience is so great that he journeys with you at the pace of your walking speed, at 3 miles an hour. Think about that for a while. In fact, I'd like to challenge you today to go for a walk. It's a beautiful day. Focus on that. Talk to God about it. Abba Father will want to walk with you at 3 miles per hour. Careful, he will be listening. But I can assure you he wants to be with you as you share your journey with him. When we slow down to that 3 miles an hour pace, God's love in us, his presence, allows us to be present to the people we meet on our journey. These people are our chance to share about who really loves them, Abba Father, through the great commandment. But we need to know how to journey at their walking speed, at 3 miles an hour. The speed that Jesus walked with his first disciples to share the love of his Father, our Father, to him, sorry, that's in him, to them, his disciples, and to all the world, and within such a short period of time, the world was saved. Let me close. It's a thing to think on, how fast this world wants us to run, because then we stop thinking on who Father is and how much love he has for us in that time. Father, help me to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help me to give myself away to others, being kind to everyone I meet. Spirit, help me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. Amen. And if you need prayer, I'm happy to go slow and spend time with you and pray. And there are other elders here. So, take some time out. Message went short. Didn't go to 18,000 pages. Have time, have a coffee, fellowship with each other. And express that love that God is within you with others. Because that's the journey speed we need to spend with our friends, our families, the loved ones we meet, people on the street we meet who just need to see God's presence in you. And we'll catch up more.